You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor David Pate.
You know, this year we're talking about discipleship. We're talking about making disciples. But you know, we can't take people places that we aren't going ourselves. We have to be a disciple in order to make disciples. You know, Jesus sent the 12 disciples out because they were good disciples first. And he wanted them to produce in other people what had already been produced in their lives. And today I want to look at discipleship 101. Discipleship 101 is being teachable. Being teachable. And I want us to ask ourselves this question. Am I teachable? Am I teachable? Are you teachable? Is this something that is a lifestyle in our lives? Because if we could get a hold of this one concept, you know, we'd stay out of trouble. We'd stay out of trouble. If we would have just learned on the front end, then we don't have to learn on the back end, the actual back end. You know, we wouldn't get fired. Our kids wouldn't be so frustrated with us. Our parents wouldn't be all over us. You know, our relationships wouldn't be so tense. Divorce wouldn't be the word that's thrown around in our homes so much. Our grades would be better. Our friends wouldn't be so irritated with us in the dorms. You know, we might have more money in our pockets than actually just running through our hands. You know, we're not a teachable society. Like, really, at all. Like, we're not a teachable society at all. And especially because we don't need to learn anything. We have the internet and we have social media. And so we know everything. We've learned everything from Facebook. It has taught us everything. Snapchat has given us everything we didn't know. And so, you know, I read it on YouTube. I saw it on YouTube. I read it on Facebook. I am now an expert. You can't tell me anything, you know? You know, my window guy, he doesn't know anything. I saw it on YouTube and I got to tell him, look, here's how I want it done. Here, it's all this video. And so you are going to have to get better. You know, my carpenter, he doesn't know anything. My goodness, I saw it on YouTube. I got to correct him time and time again. Here's how you lay trim. I saw it on a YouTube video. You don't know anything. And this is the way we literally, everybody's an idiot. This is the way we treat everybody because we've seen it on YouTube. You know, we know more than doctors because all the side effects. I read it. Here's all the side effects, doc. And here's the surgery you're going to give me. Not that. And I know you've been to school for 25 years, but I know more because I saw one 30-second video. We know more than our bosses. We know more than professional athletes. You know what I'm saying? We watch ESPN. We watch people and we're like, he's an idiot. Why'd he take that shot? You know, what's the coach doing? This NBA coach making me, what's he doing? That ref don't know nothing. I mean, we watch and we think we know more because we played it on a video game, EA Sports. It's in the game. I mean, we literally think because we've played NBA Live that we know more than the live NBA players. You know, we know more than our parents. We know more than our teachers. We know more than everybody because we're experts. See, being teachable is about growing, learning, increasing in wisdom and understanding. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about this. Proverbs 13:8, in fact, says, poverty and disgrace comes to them who ignore instruction. Comes to them who aren't teachable. Proverbs 12:1, it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. Now, I don't know what Solomon meant by that, right? I mean, he put it pretty Jesseville on us right there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's speaking our language, you know? If you don't like reproof, you're stupid. I mean, that's just what it said. Proverbs 9:9, it says, give instruction to a wise person, and you know what they do with it? They get wiser. It says, teach a righteous person and they increase in learning. And then finally, the last one, Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I reject you. How many areas of our lives, or how many lives have we seen in friends and neighbors and people that we know that we are seeing be destroyed by a lack of knowledge? We're seeing be destroyed by a lack of knowledge. Relationships are destroyed. Losing our job or promotion opportunities. Finances are destroyed. Worse than that, losing influence is destroyed. I mean, we can't make disciples if we destroy our influence. I mean, one of the worst things, you know, people have to want our influence if we're going to make a disciple in their life. You know, life is trying to teach us, are we learning? Life is trying to teach us, are we learning? Are we teachable? You know, we all make mistakes. Mistakes will happen. We all make mistakes. But mistakes aren't the problem. It's not learning from those mistakes that are the problem. Are we learning from our mistakes? Or are we going through the same thing over and over and over again? And you know, it's easy to spiritualize things. See, if we can say it's spiritual, then it justifies it, right? That's what we do. If we can say it's spiritual, then it's justified for why we're not teachable. See, my kids are just in rebellion right now. I'm not going to say that I'm completely provoking them to wrath. No, I'm not going to say that. No. They're in rebellion. Now, I'm ticking them off every second of the day and trying to control their life. But they're in rebellion. See, that's spiritualizing an inability to be teachable as a parent. See, I was persecuted for my faith at my job. Not I was a terrible employee. You know what I'm saying? See, we spiritualize it. You know, you look at Daniel. He was outspoken with his faith. But he was really good. In fact, the king was mad when anybody was trying to get him because Daniel was so good at his job. You know, Joseph was outspoken about his faith, and Potiphar promoted the heck out of that guy. In fact, he was mad when his wife accused him. If he could have thrown her in prison, I think he would have. You know, he wanted Joseph because he was so good at his job. Esther was good at what she did. In fact, Nehemiah, a secular king, paid for someone else's wall, the Jews' wall. It wasn't the king just liked Nehemiah so much. He was such a good employee that he paid for his wall. You know, as Christians, here's the deal. If we were good at what we did, we'd still be there. Well, we're just going through a difficult season versus we caused this difficult season and need to work on some things. Well, you know, God is calling me to leave this deal, except for I gave my word that I would be there till the end of the year. God is calling me to break this lease, except for I signed the lease till the end of the year, and I said that is what I would do. You know, we over-spiritualize disobedience and a lack of being teachable. See, life is trying to teach us things. Are we learning? See, financially, are we needing the same miracle every year? If we need the Red Sea to part every year, we might need to find a different route. You know, if we keep coming up against the Red Sea, let's go, you know, alter. What does she say? What does Siri say? Rerouting. We might need to reroute and not need that miracle next time in our finances. And really, finances come down to two things, income and outgo. And one of them needs to change, you know. I mean, we are overcome, you know, God. And God's like, income, outgo. Come on, people, be teachable. See, with our job, we're making the same mistake over and over again. With people, it's everyone else's fault. You know, you can only play the victim card so many times to when people start going, you know what, I think it's you. You know, I don't know that you're a victim there. Are we having the same relationship issues, the same fears, the same insecurities that we're producing in the other person? The same fights. Are we having the same fight? The same fight, you know. There was one time that I brought to Melissa. I know maybe she brought it to my attention. But she was like, babe, I don't want to talk about this thing. Now, we can talk about anything. But this thing, can we not talk about this one? She's like, we can talk about anything, but never. We keep talking about this one. But think about it. How many times we keep talking about that one? Are we learning from our past sin? Or are we still repeating the same compromise that led to that past sin that keeps... See, are we going around the same mountain that we refuse to learn from? The number one job of a disciple is to be teachable. And Jesus was looking and is still looking for teachable people. And this is what he was talking about in Luke 18:17, when he said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter. He said, guys, we got to be like a child. We got to be See, children are way more teachable than adults are. Kids are way more pliable than adults are. How do kids receive things? Well, kids believe. Kids listen, they trust, they learn, they obey. See, kids do those things way more than adults do. As adults, we're a little slower. We're a little more hesitant. We're a little more set in our ways. I don't know about that. But see, being teachable is about listening. It's about listening. Do we hear? Do we hear what God is trying to tell us? Do we hear what people are trying to tell us? See, listening is to hear the heart of other people. And sometimes we do have to hear the heart, right? Because the way it was put or the way it was said, I don't know if I like that. You know, I'm reminded when Melissa encouraged me that I was the most selfish person she has ever met. And immediately I had an argument for that. She's never met everybody. And so there's no way that you could put me at the top. Okay. Top 10, maybe. All right. And, you know, I do like being the best. So maybe that was good, you know. But see, I didn't like how, but did I hear her heart? Did I hear her heart? That there's some things that need to be changed. See, it's keeping the mindset of, I might not know everything. See, when we're in a conversation, do we listen to other people? See, listening is about hearing the heart. It's about being teachable. It's about being teachable. And I'm amazed when I'm in conversations with some people. They talk. That's how conversations work. You know, they talk. I listen. I talk. They listen. But I'm in some conversations. They talk. And then they talk. And then they talk. And then they talk. And then I have to interrupt so that we can have a dialogue. But then they don't listen. I know walls that are better to talk to than they are. You know, they listen better. See, parents, are we guilty of this with our kids? Are we guilty of this with our coworkers? Our coworkers are trying to help us. They're trying to make us better. They're trying to help us get along with other people, but we think it's everyone else and it's not us. Teachers, are we guilty of this with our students? I know there's teachers here in this room. I'm telling you, I have learned more from my students and my players than I have learned from any book or any class or anything, because I listened. They did not like that. I did not get the response I wanted. I'm going to work on me so I can work on them. See, this is the problem with partisan politics. This is the problem with identity politics. Is no one, dear Lord, come on. I mean, no one will listen to the heart of the other person. And I'm not saying we should just globally do what everybody tells us to do. That's not what I'm talking about. But do we hear people's heart and then line it up with the truth, then line it up with fruit, and then line it up with God's word? I get that. I'm not saying that all the politicians just listen to each other. But do we even try and hear people's heart? See, really, what do any of us know right now? As we sit in this room today, what do we know? We know what we've learned. We know what we've been taught. And my question is, have we really learned everything in every area? See, what we're saying when we're not teachable is, I've learned it all, I'm done. See, and we put a ceiling on our growth. We put a ceiling on our discipleship. And there's so many areas of life that it's impossible to know everything and be an expert about everything in every area. It's impossible to be full in every area. In fact, it's impossible to be full about God. God is so limitless. There is so much to learn about Him. We couldn't. There's not enough lifetimes to come to church to read the Bible enough, to hear enough podcasts, and to spend enough time with Him to possibly know Him as much as we can. It's impossible for us to know about every phase of life. It's impossible for us to know about working with people. See, if we aren't teachable, what we're saying is, I'm done learning. See, are we trying to teach life, or is life trying to teach us? And when we're not teachable, we are kicking against life instead of looking at life and learning from our experiences. See, we kick against life and we argue against life instead of going, you know what? I've got something to learn here. And really, this is what separates victims and victors. See, victims kick against life and they scream, victim, victim, victim. And they refuse to say, what do I need to learn here? See, victors see something and they're willing to learn from it and tackle it. You know, the most self-aware people are the most successful people. The most self-aware, now I'm not talking about self-assured, okay? I'm self-assured, you know. No. Self-aware. Self-aware means I know what my weaknesses are, and I know what my strengths are, And I need to get around some people who have strengths in my areas of weakness. And I need to learn from those people. See, self-aware people look like they have it all together because they're smart enough to know I don't have it all together. And I need to learn in that area. So how do we do this? How do we work on being teachable? Maybe sitting here today, you've gritted your teeth and you realize, you know what? I might not be as teachable as I need to be. How do I change that? Well, really being teachable comes down to two things. It comes down to desire and willingness. Being teachable comes down to two things, desire and willingness. See, desire is our want to. It's that thing on the inside, that thing within us that says, I want to. I want to have this desire in that area. And desire, I have a desire to get better. I have a desire to change. I have a desire to learn. And we need to ask ourselves, do I have a desire to get better? Do I have a vision for growth? Where am I headed? See, not just working a job, but headed for a destination. See, if we don't know our destination, we're like an airplane that's going to run out of gas flying around in circles. If we don't know our destination, see, our destination tells us when to take off, where to go, and when to land the plane. And we've got people run out of gas in areas of their lives because they're crashing their plane because they don't have a destination in mind. And see, we got to have a desire to get better at our journey. We got to have a desire to change. Now, the desire to change isn't change, but it's the first step to change. But we got to have a desire to change. We got to have a desire to become a different person and not just lock up and be unwilling to hear what other people have to teach us. Do we have a desire to learn? See, the problem is in education today, in America today, we are into grades. We are not into learning. You hear parents' emphasis, go get that A, go get that B, go get that C. It needs to be go learn. Are you learning from your teacher? Are you listening from your teacher? Are you learning? Learning takes care of the A, the B, and the C, or the whatever. But see, our emphasis is no longer on learning. So, you know, if my kid's not getting an A, I got to put them somewhere where they can get an A. Instead of, wait, I got to put them somewhere where they're learning. And so we've grown up as society, we're as adults, we're not into learning. I got my A, my B, and I C. I'm done. No. Learning should be a life. School should teach us all to have learning as a lifestyle. And so we're programmed to memorize information instead of learning. So we memorize Matthew 28. Matthew 28 is our theme for as far as the Great Commission of making disciples in all the nations. See, I've memorized Matthew 28, but I haven't learned how to Matthew 28. I don't have a desire to learn how to go and make this. I don't have a desire to learn that. And this is a scary society we've created. But it shouldn't matter who the teacher is. Your students, a book, a podcast, those under you. And sometimes as leaders, we can be the worst listeners and learners. But see, we need a desire to get better, a desire to change, and a desire to learn. The second thing is willingness. Willingness is a willingness to change, a willingness to learn something new and do something new, and a willingness to relearn what you think you already know. See, desire is our start, right? It's that motivation, but willingness is the action. Willingness is going out and actually doing what our desire is. See, we can have a desire to be better, and so what we do is with that desire is we feel really good about it. But then we didn't do anything about it. The doing tends to be the most important part of change, not just the desire to change. Willingness is the action to follow through with our desire. And, you know, for most of us, reaching new levels in any area of our lives has a lot to do with unlearning and relearning in areas. It has a lot to do with unlearning and relearning. See, sometimes we're open to learn new things. New things are fresh, right? New things can be exciting. But it's even harder to learn old things. See, the idea of relearning something we already know can be threatening to us and it feels redundant. I've already done this. See, it threatens our ego. We say things like, I already know that. I thought I already knew that. I'm supposed to know that. How do I not know that already? And so that can be very frustrating in an area. And we feel this way. Our teachability shuts down and we lose our will to learn and change because we're closed off. This is why marriage conferences are not the norm for married people. Why? Because I'm already married. And if I go there, I may have to relearn something I've already learned, and that is bruising to my ego, right? They may affirm everything that Melissa has been saying to me for the last 15 years, ergo, I'm not going there, I'm good. That's the hardest thing, right? Relearning what we already know. I'm not doing that because that can be very difficult. I coach high school girls basketball. It's a blast. The junior high girls are way easier to coach than the high school girls. The junior high girls say yes, then they may cry, but they say yes, sir, and then they go out and do it. The high school girls, I already know that, coach. I've already done that, coach. I don't want to do that, jail coach. I don't want to do that. I hope my girls are listening over there. But you're closed off because it's harder to relearn what we already know. And you know, when we're closed off, we suffer. And then even worse, when we're closed off, the people around us suffer for the area that we're closed off. Our kids suffer, our grades suffer, our relationships suffer, our finances suffer, our job performance suffer. See, our level of teachability is determined by the combination of these two things. In fact, if we put it in a math equation, Pastor put a math equation up there, and I thought, hey, if Pastor can put a math equation up there, pre-cal teacher can put a math equation up there. So I put a little addition in there. A desire to learn plus a willingness to change equals our level of teachability. See, we can't have one without the other. See, I like to learn, but I don't like to change. Well, I like to change, but I have no desire to learn. See, it takes both. It takes the want to plus the action that equals the change. And I actually wanted to go through a chart that I came across in Paul's book that he wanted to teach me something in. If you look at something like relationships, you put desire on one side and willingness on the other. See, if you put our desire at a 7, but our willingness is at a 2, we're not really going anywhere. But we feel good about it. You know, if you move on to the school, you know, in school, when the desire's high and the willingness is high, all of a sudden equals a good grade. But you got to put both of those together. Man, I can't tell you how many students I've talked to, and they're like, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do yeah, good. Did you do your homework? Nope. Did you study? Nope. But I thought you said you were going to do, yeah. They agree with everything I say. They do. It's tough. Those are my favorite. You look at our job. If we have a willingness to change but no desire to learn new things and to grow and to relearn, then we're not going to get that teachability. And then the last one, making disciples, what we're talking about this year, it can be very scary. But we're talking about making disciples. If our desire isn't very high and our willingness isn't very high, if I'm not willing to go out and talk to anybody and I have no desire to learn how to go out and talk to anybody, then I'm probably not going to go out and talk to anybody. But see, this is how we measure our level of teachability. Let's bring this all together. Are we teachable? John 10:10, it says, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. And this is what I really want to minister to us today, more than that other stuff. Is the enemy wants to kill our desire, and the enemy wants to kill our will. The enemy wants to kill our desire to learn, and he wants to kill our will to change. I mean, you look at it from very young kids, you see more of a hunger to learn, and the older we get, the more we see that will and that desire whipped out of us. See, he wants to stop us from being teachable because when we're not teachable, we're at a standstill. When we're not teachable, we're not going anywhere. We're stagnant. We're stuck. We're right there. And I think the most worthless church is a church that is stuck. When there's people. If as people, we're stuck individually, if families are stuck, and kids are stuck, then where are we going? If you've ever been out on a hot day looking for something to drink and you came across a stagnant puddle, it doesn't motivate you to take a big gulp or get down there and lap it like a dog. You know what I'm saying? It's nasty. It's got floaties. You know what I'm talking about? It's, you know, you got like a pond. It's got that pond floaty nasty stuff on the top of it. It doesn't make you want to just dive your face in there and bottle it up and take it home. See, what you want is flowing water. What you want is flowing water, water that's headed somewhere, water that's moving, it's clear, it's clean. In fact, it's cold, it's refreshing. It's always cold to get in flowing water. See, flowing water, it's exciting, it's going somewhere, it's moving. And if I could talk to our married people in here for just a second, think about when our relationships first start, they're moving, right? Right? You talk to them for the first time and it's exciting. It's exciting. We talked and then you can't wait to talk again. And then you talk. What'd you talk about? Nothing. Right? It was awkward. It was silly. It was whatever. And then, you know, you go to the movies and you put the arm around and you know, your heart's ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. The pits are gone, right? They are gone. I hope she's not wearing a tank top because if the pit touches her shoulder, she'll know I'm sweating. But it's exciting. You're nervous. It's gone. And then you hold the hands, not hold the hands. Hold the hands the special way. You waffle, you know. And then there is such excitement. I remember when Melissa and I waffled for the first time. I can tell you. I can tell you where we were. I can tell you where we were. We're in JD and Connie's apartment, you know, say, watching some show or something. I don't know. Come on now. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. You know what I'm saying? Man, meant just as much for you as it did for me. I can tell you that. Anybody got a good marriage conference? We're not real teachable. But then you get engaged and it's moving, right? Then you get married and it's moving. But then somewhere along the way, it stops moving. Why? It's because we stop learning each other. We don't have a desire to learn. We don't have a will to change. And see, it gets stagnant. And then we want out. See, this is what happens. No disciples are made from stagnant water. They're made from flowing rivers. See, if we're not a flowing river as a disciple ourselves, we're not going to make a lot of disciples this year because people won't want to drink from the lives that we have. If people are going to drink from the lives of Christian Ministries Church, then we all have to be teachable, flowing rivers. Today, as you sit here, I want to ask us, I want to minister here for just 2 minutes. Are we feeling blah in our lives? Are we feeling bored? Are we stagnant? Are we numb? Because after a while, numbness sets in when we're blah. See, if we aren't teachable in our relationships, then we get numb. And then the only logical deal is to exit this thing. Or to find someone else that will solve this blah in my relationship. See, if we're bored at work, it's because we're stagnant. We're no longer perfecting our craft. We're no longer working on it. We're no longer learning about it. You know, and so we're numb at work, and then we're just trying to get through the day, and we're just numb. There's no excitement there. And then maybe we come to church, and we're just blah at church. And so then we're just numb at church, and we're just stagnant, and there's just no excitement there. And so we just get through. So I want to ask you, if we're blah at school or work, and we're blah in our relationships, and we're numb at church, what do you do? See, when we're numb in these areas, what do you do? Because nobody's just going to stay not excited. That's not an option. I got to have excitement. Well, that's why there's an epidemic in our men of this culture of pot and alcohol addiction. Because I can't stay numb. That's why with our ladies, there's a pill addiction of I'm blah and I'm numb. So I got to do something to get this blah and this numb. There's an addiction to videos that we're watching on our screens. And we watch it because everything else is numb. At least this is a little bit of excitement in my life. Netflix, Prime, numb out on those. Netflix and chill. Watch Prime and numb out. This is why suicide is the number two cause of death for 18 to 35 year olds. It's because I refuse to live a blah life. I refuse to be in a relationship that has no excitement. I refuse to be in school and have no excitement. I refuse to be in a job that has no excitement. And all of this is because the enemy has robbed our desire to learn and our willingness to change. When we're not teachable, we're stuck. And when we're stuck, we're bored. And God didn't create us. See, the problem is we're going against our creation. We were not created to be bored. We were created by the most amazing God to be exciting and to be moving and to be flowing rivers. From the time we're born to the day we die, we were meant to be moving and doing and changing and growing and becoming more and more like God who created us. The creation is supposed to become like the Creator, but when we stop learning, when we stop having a desire to change, when we stop having a desire to grow, when we think it's everyone else and it's not us, we get stuck and we get blah, and then we look around for solutions. And it's no wonder that we live in a society that is addicted. And it's no wonder we're voting to legalize everything, because I gotta have something to make me feel better. I gotta have something. This is not working. This is not working. I want to encourage you, if you've lost your desire where you're at, if you've lost your desire, it's time to look again. It's time to say, God, what's my next step? Because I've stopped looking for it. It could be your relationship with the Lord. It could be your relationship with your mate. It could be your relationship with your kids. It could be your school. It could be everything. If you're bored where you're at, it's because you've lost your desire and your willingness to change. I want to encourage you to begin to seek after it. It's amazing as you begin to feed yourself. Man, you get a podcast on an area you're learning. You read an article. You read a book on an area that you're wanting to learn in. All of a sudden, excitement is rebirthed in you. And then it begins to spill out of you. And it begins to spill out on the people around you. And then it's contagious. And then all of a sudden, not only are you discipling once again, but now you're making disciples in the people around you. See, God has called us to make disciples this year. But the first disciple we have to make is the disciple right in here. In order to do that, we've got to be open to be discipled. No matter where you're at today, it's time to grow. It's time to be teachable. And it's time to move to the next level. Amen? Are we teachable? Did y'all get something out of this morning? Let's stand. Hopefully we took the sting out of the title of today and ministered to your heart. Let's pray over our week. God, if we are standing here today and we've lost our desire, God, we open our hearts today and we say, give us that desire back. God, maybe you've been trying to teach us some things and we've closed you off. And we closed off that desire. But God, help our ears to open back up. And help us to be willing to what you're trying to speak to our heart. God, help Christian Ministries Church to be a beacon in this community. To be a beacon in this state of flowing rivers of people that can't get enough of you. Of people that are growing. Of people that are self-aware of the areas that we need to learn in. God, help us not to be victims, but to be the victors that you have created and called us to be here on this earth. God, help us to be willing to change even though it's hard. God, give us a teachable spirit so that we can go out and make disciples and change this community and the surrounding communities. God, we thank you for your word and your challenge to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.